You're listening to Cap and Company starring David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
Coach, before I let you go, Mitchell Trubisky, the Bears have said, we still believe in this kid. We think he can be our quarterback. Do you agree with that analysis?
I agree with it 100%. I think you put people around him, you understand what Mitch can do, and you try to maximize that. And he's a good football player. The Bears can win with him, and they can win championships with him. They're close.
Cap and Company with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
That was Coach Ditka this morning when he joined us. We also talked to Jimbo Covert, who was elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame this morning. We got to play his call on the air. That was really cool. Then we talked to him. Then we talked to Coach Ditka about him, and that was the coach on Mitchell Trubisky. Danny, I have a good friend of mine. In fact, one of my dear friends. He is an NBA scout. He just texted me. He's listening to the show. He said, hey, tell Bleck, yes, Zach LaVine is not a top player in the league, but he is good enough to carry you to consistent wins. But Chris blames him for losses. He's not making close to max money. Any team in our league would love to have that production. I just do not understand the LaVine hate. If Zach LaVine had LeBron James and Anthony Davis as the max players on his team, would you feel pretty good about him as your third player? Yes, you would. Right now, his max player is Otto Porter, and Lauri Markkanen is his other top guy, and he's got a far substandard coach. Putting the losses on him is not a fair assessment.
Do people not know how to listen? That's exactly the point I'm making. Him being your best player is exactly why you are where you are. If he was the three on a team, you'd have a team that would be in the playoffs, competing for championships. Do people not know how to listen? Seriously. Really? That's the point. That's exactly the point I'm making here. Zach LaVine as your number one, you're getting nowhere. That's the point.
Settle down.
That's what it is.
Settle down. It's okay.
Did you text that back to your friend, your dear friend there,
no,
Cappy?
He's listening. I'm sure he can hear you.
Well, I appreciate him listening.
Upset Chris.
Well, that's exactly what we're saying. What do you think we're talking about? The losses, yes. A part of the problem is the team. That's exactly the shade I'm throwing at the rest of the team.
You're all triggered. Did you tell Mr.
Well, yes, I'm triggered. Listen.
All right, settle down. Did you tell Gregory Thomas Waddle what the coach had to say today, his old boss, about Mitchell Trubisky? We'll have to bring that up to him when he joins us for a Waddle Wednesday. He said, Tommy, you can not only win with Mitchell Trubisky, you can win championships with him. That was the coach, your guy. Also, the latest Super Bowl odds are out for 2021. These are the 2021 Super Bowl odds. Kansas City will enter next season 7-1, the favorite. The Baltimore Ravens and the 49ers 8-1. New England 12-1. New Orleans 14. Dallas and Pittsburgh 16. Green Bay 20. That's the top nine. Then Chicago, Atlanta, the Chargers, part of a small group at 25-1. Below the Bears, you've got the Texans 33-1, the Colts 33-1, the Eagles 33-1, the Bills, a playoff team, 40-1. You've got the Denver Broncos 50-1, the Titans 50-1, Danny's Las Vegas Raiders 50-1. How about that, Danny?
Whose odds are these?
These are courtesy of one of the top offshore sportsbooks, Bet Online.
Because Westgate has the Bears at 30-1.
Okay.
Westgate has Kansas City 7-1, San Francisco 8-1, Ravens 8-1, mm-hmm. New Orleans 10-1. And then they have 8 teams at 30-1, and the Bears are among them. They have the Titans, the Rams, the Browns, the Bears, the Chargers, the Colts, the Texans, and the Vikings, all 30-1.
There you go. So
I'm not putting my money on the Bears to win the Super Bowl next year as much as I love them.
Be amazing.
What have they showed you that they're going to be any different than they were this year?
Well, they haven't done anything yet.
Well, but they didn't do anything, and you suggested they were going to win 11 games or whatever it was.
I said they're going to the playoffs.
No, pre-Khalil Mack, before they traded for Khalil Mack.
I said nine.
Nine wins.
I said minimum nine.
They had done nothing, and you were ready to say nine wins. Mm-hmm. Now they've done nothing.
And I said they're going to the playoffs.
Which is crazy. Why? What have they done to suggest that they're going to be better? You're just hoping?
No.
That this year was a fluke?
I believe they'll have better health. I believe having Akeem Hicks will be a huge thing. I think Mitch will take a little bit of a step. I think they'll bring more competition in that room and have a better backup than they've had, so they won't have a glorified assistant coach like Chase Daniel. I think they will have...
But is that backup going to see the field? Like, what did it matter if last year, if they had Andy Dalton backing up Mitch? Do you believe he would have got into games?
Yes.
They would have pulled the plug. As quick as they were as the season ended to support Mitch and say he's their starter come 2020, you think they would have pulled the plug on him for Andy Dalton in
they would have given him
the
a
Raiders
shot.
Game?
Yeah, they would have given him a... Well, the Raiders game, Mitch didn't play.
Well, after the Raiders games when the bottom fell out.
They would have given him a shot, yes. Yes.
See, I don't think
and
so.
And I still don't believe that the Chicago... Because of what Ryan said, I still think there's going to be competition in that room. I think they may think Mitch is our guy, but they only have one guy under contract. What are they supposed to say? Yeah, he sucks. We're going to see what's out there. No.
Well, they could have said, we only have one quarterback, so clearly Mitch is our guy. They didn't have to say it in such a way that it was like, Mitch is a starting quarterback. It was such a proclamation of faith in Mitch, the way they said it. They didn't say it as if, well, we don't have any other options. We'll see what's out there. We're taking a wait and see.
Correct.
Like the Colts held their postseason press conference, and theirs was more of a wait and see approach with quarterback.
Correct.
Ours was more of a statement of fact. Mitch is the guy.
Right. Agreed. But if you only have one under contract and you come out and go, well, we're going to look around and see what's out there. Agents are like, well, hey, man, you want to sign my guy? You said you didn't name that guy your starter. You didn't say he's all that and locked in. The Bears are going to try. I'm going to take less from what they said and more from their actions. I believe there will be a valid backup there that can beat Mitch out potentially.
Okay, but now let's dissect the actions of the Bears. Mm-hmm. The offense stunk.
Mm-hmm.
Yet nothing's really changed with as far as Matt Nagy's going to call the plays, and they brought in this Tom Lazor. Is that his name? Bill Lazor?
Bill Lazor, not Lazor.
A laser.
So they brought in a guy who was on the pine last year, not working for an NFL team, to be the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. What leads you to believe that that is now improving the offense?
I don't know if Bill...
Well, but my point is they've done nothing to show us that they're going to get better next year. They had a chance when you fire an offensive coordinator, even though I think Mark Helfrich was just a fall guy.
Uh-huh.
I don't necessarily know what he even did at Hallis Hall because Matt Nagy was calling the plays. But fine, you want to say he was the run game coordinator and the run game stunk even though he didn't have an offensive line to work with.
Uh-huh.
That's fine. You put him on the chopping block. But now you have a chance to really improve the offensive room, and they're bringing in a guy. And maybe this guy is the next Sean Payton. I don't know, and I could be wrong, but you're bringing in a guy that nobody really knows what he does. So how are you getting better there on offense? You're staying the same.
No, but they could have signed Pat Shurmur, and I'd be like, well, he got fired twice as a head coach. I don't know if he's any good. I have no idea. I'm going to ride or die with my guys and prove it. Show me. Can he be good? Is he a good offensive coach? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, if you dropped you into the offensive coordinator job with the Kansas City Chiefs, at the end of the year, they'd be like, boy, that guy was in his first year as an OC, went from a radio producer, and Patrick Mahomes threw 44 touchdowns. You may not have had diddly-poo to do with that, but guess what? Great players make you look smart.
Of course, absolutely. I had the shot or no shot question on Monday, and we never got to it. But I'll ask you it now because we're talking about the Bears and their future.
Let me just say this. You might have put 2 years ago before I got religion, you might have put fat cap on Secretariat, and they've been, boy, Secretariat actually really ran well with fat cap on him. But guess what? He did all the work. It wasn't me.
What does that have to do with religion?
I got food religion from Danny.
Oh, okay.
I was fat cap back then.
Right.
What I'm saying is the horse carries the jockey to the finish line, not the other way around. So if you give good players to my dead grandmother, she's going to look like a pretty decent offensive coordinator.
Yeah, but a good coach can also make mediocre players look good. I mean, let's just look to New England where the best coach in all of sports resides.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady goes out injured. The backup quarterbacks that come in somehow always seem to find jobs in other cities afterwards, and then they stink.
Yeah.
You can make a list of those guys that have gotten, besides Jimmy Garoppolo, that have gotten great shine from playing on the New England Patriots and have gone to other places and gone right in the toilet.
Got it.
All right, so let me ask you this question, guys. So after watching the divisional round of the playoffs, shot or no shot, it's safe to say the Bears are closer to starting over than they are to playing in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, no shot. They've got top five defense. They've got some weaponry. They're going to have probably $35 million in salary cap room if they make the right cuts. Yeah, no shot. That's jackassian. No shot.
No shot next.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, really? They're right in the middle. Yeah. And if you improve the quarterback position, you are a championship caliber team. Don't they have enough weapons? If you remove that one spot, I know it's the most important spot on any NFL team, the quarterback mm-hmm. position. If you remove that one spot, that's a good roster. It is.
Agreed.
It's a no shot. They're closer to winning a Super Bowl than they are being the worst team in the league.
I completely agree with you. Let's see. Bob's out in Rosemont. Hey, Bob, what's going on there, Buttercup?
You know, Cap, you raised an excellent parallel about the horse taking the jockey to the finish line. But uh-huh. the problem is, or the horse is mindful that if he doesn't perform, he's going to be sent to the glue factory. He's not sent to the stud barn if he doesn't perform.
Do you think the horse really knows as he's going around the track, hey, man, if I pick him up and lay him down and I win this race, that hot-looking filly over there is mine? Or, oh boy, that little van's getting ready to take me and my carcass to the glue factory. Do you think the horse really knows that?
Okay, Cap, let's forget about the metaphor. You drew it up. I poked holes in it. The point of the matter is that everything
asking,
the Bears...
I thought maybe you knew.
Well, I don't know. I don't have any contact with Mr. Ed to be able to verbalize what his thought process is in that activity. The fact of the matter is, Cap, when you talk about the Bears doing something that would suggest that they're going to improve, everything that team has done since the season has ended is simply to reinforce the echo chamber that was already in place. They basically got rid of every experienced voice that would challenge the play calling and game planning of Matt Nagy. And to the extent that they felt a compulsion in the season-ending conference to give basically a reinforcement of ego for Mitch Trubisky when they could have simply said that we're dissatisfied with the quarterback play. We're going to be opening up a competition with someone we intend to bring in. That would tell agents for free agents that they're going to have an opportunity to compete for the number one spot, which you basically did unnecessarily in that conference, is send a red flag out to any experienced quarterback.
Bob, listen to me. The agents and the players around the NFL could give a flying rip what Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy said at a press conference. They could care less. When they have their phone conversations and they say, hey, man, we're interested in signing your client, that's all that they weigh. They do not care what's said at a press conference.
Yeah, but, Cap, the point of the matter is that's not an isolated event. Everything that team has done has suggested, including keeping a backup to Mitch Trubisky, who is a glorified assistant coach,
no doubt,
and clipboard holder. Mm-hmm. So if you're an agent, I agree that if all they did was make that statement, and you could point out that is a departure from how they've treated that quarterback, but the fact is you're looking at not only that statement, but that statement being entirely consistent with the way they've treated Trubisky throughout the course of performances that anyone would view as substandard. So if I'm representing Andy Dalton or Mariota or someone else who makes clear to me as my client that they have no interest in being a second stringer or having to be down on the depth chart against competition that has demonstrated no right to have a priority in that process, I'm going to insist that team not only tell me that I'm going to have an opportunity to compete, but that they demonstrate that opportunity is going to be genuine. I'm not signing on the dotted line because Ryan Pace tells me, oh, you know, we just said that because we just said that.
These guys deal with the same agents on multiple players year after year. I'm telling you, players could care less what is said at a press conference. Means absolutely nothing to them. Nothing. Most of them never even hear it. They're not like you and I listening to sports radio and reading all that stuff. Their agent will call and go, hey, I got calls from six teams. Chicago says you're coming in strictly as a backup. Detroit says you're doing this. San Francisco's got this opportunity. And that team said they'll offer you the starting job right now, but their money is this or that. That's how it goes.
But you would acknowledge that there was absolutely no need to come in full-throated in support of Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Under the circumstances.
First of all, he was the
only. You would agree with that.
I would have not done it the way Ryan did it. I would have said, he's our starter right now. We've got to be better at that position, and we hope that Mitch is that guy. But they only have one guy on the roster, only one quarterback under contract. They are not going to take a shot at him. That's just not how it's done.
And, Cap, you would agree that if Ryan Pace handled that in the way you suggested you would do, that would absolutely not hamper the confidence of a qualified NFL quarterback like Trubisky is supposed to be.
Yeah, I don't think it would have affected Mitch at all.
I understand. I would hope it wouldn't. And that would also create a climate that would enable other quarterbacks looking at the circumstance to believe that they, in fact, had a genuine opportunity to compete for the position.
And I appreciate the call, Bob. Again, we get back to the quarterbacks that are going to be on the market could give a flying rip, and appreciate your call, what Ryan said at a press conference. They literally, if they even heard it, they don't pay attention. Their agent will go, here are the teams, here's who's called. Okay, I'm interested in Chicago. What are they offering? X number of dollars, and they said you're coming in as the distinct backup. Yeah, okay, who else? Chicago said they'll give you a chance to compete, but Mitch is the starter as of day one of camp. All right, I'm cool with that. I'll beat that guy out. That's how they look at it. What are you paying me? How much is guaranteed? How much is not guaranteed? 312-332-3776. Danny, did you hear the story about Gabe Kapler, the new Giants manager?
What story would that be, Cappy?
So he is a very health-conscious guy. He's a weird dude, but he's a very health-conscious guy. And so he likes ice cream, but he won't allow himself to enjoy ice cream because he wants to be svelte and in great shape. So he would get his favorite ice cream. He'd put a spoonful in his mouth. He would let the taste savor, and then he'd spit it out in a bucket and then have another one. He had three or four, got his taste, doesn't get the calories in his body, out. He also said that he's been mindful before college of what he was putting in his body. He said his meticulous nutritional ways were displayed when he was starving. He bought a 40-pack of chicken McNuggets when he forgot to pack his usual tuna on rye sandwich that he eats. And the players around him noticed. They're like, you're going to eat deep-fried chicken McNuggets? He spent several minutes peeling the breading off the McNuggets before he ate the chicken.
That really is accomplishing not a lot.
Because all the oil is in there.
The oil's still seeping in. The second you put it in the fryer and that oil, which is the worst oil you could possibly put in your body, you want to avoid that at all costs, is soaking into the chicken. So sure, he took off the breading, so he's getting rid of the carbs and the flour or whatever that breading is on there, but he's still getting all that oil in his system. And the whole thing with eating the ice cream and spitting it out, he's still getting the sugar in his system as well.
He said he wanted to set the record straight, and he said, yeah, I did that on the McNuggets. And as on the ice cream, I actually didn't put it into my mouth as much. I would lick the bowl of the ice in the cup. He'd put it in a cup. I would lick it and then spit so it wouldn't go into my mouth.
But it's still going in his system. If I gave you a lollipop right now and you licked it, the sugar is getting on your tongue and getting into your system.
Right.
Even if you're spitting it out, sure, you might be spitting out parts of it, but you're still getting some of it.
That was his treat.
It's like
to
an ass-backwards way of operating. I mean, he's in great shape. I'm not going to argue with him, but whatever.
We need the follow-up, Cap. Have you ever licked and spit from the bowl?
I haven't, but I'm debating it now.
Just eat the if you're going to do it, just eat
why
the ice cream.
Would you debate that?
Don't do that. You have two options. Eat the ice cream and just suck it up and say, all right, this is my treat from the day. I'm going to eat the ice cream. Or don't eat the ice cream. There's no middle of the road. You're either pregnant or you're not.
Who debates something like that? Oh, that sounds like fun. Let's lick it and then spit it out.
I just don't eat it.
That's what I said. You have two choices. Eat it or don't. Yes. But don't lick it and spit it.
Yes, that's what she,
He said, he was in college and at Cal Fullerton. Spent most evenings driving more than an hour one way to see his first serious girlfriend, Lisa. He spent most other nights partying with his buddies. The late hours he kept led to weeks of blown off classes, missed morning workouts, and he's now a noted health freak. Said, my go-to meal almost every day was a double Del cheeseburger from Del Taco, those special wrinkly fries, and a big old Coke with lots of ice. I also developed a quick affinity for beer, malt liquor in particular, and at the end of one semester, his scholarship was pulled. How about that?
Half a giant bag.
Pretty good. Hi, Tommy. Anyway, I thought that was funny. I thought Danny would appreciate that. 312-332-3776. We'll take a fast time out. Gregory Thomas Waddle of the 85 Bears joins us for Waddle Wednesday next.
You are listening to David Kaplan. Waddle Wednesdays on Cap and Company.
Waddle! Waddle!
I had a hot dog at the Sox game when I went and saw them play the Mariners. Smothered in in onions.
He always talks to us like that.
Waddle! Waddle!
Wednesdays with Waddle on Cap and Company.
Welcome back. ESPN 1000.
Good day
when we get Tom Waddle
just
in here.
Ate a half a bag of kosher dill pickle Lay's potato chips as you guys were talking about. Not even consuming ice cream, but swirling it around your mouth and spitting it out. That just doesn't sound like a good day for me, guys. It just doesn't. And I know, you know, to each their own, you do you, I'll do me, and all that other stuff, but...
You feel good, though, with the potato chips?
There's an addictive chemical in it, for sure, for me, because I can't stop eating them. And they'll probably go firing through me at some point in the day, but they're so delicious going down.
I have that same problem with Doritos. Oh. Like, if I open a bag of Doritos...
Cool Ranch or regular?
Both. Yeah. I'm probably finishing that bag in one day.
Yeah. Then you look at the bag. You don't want to look at the bag when you open it up. But then when you go back and you look at the bag, it says... Serving size, 5 chips. Number of servings, 400.
I'll take 7 servings.
And at the end of the
servings.
Day, you've got them. They're all gone. Your hands are, like, orange. Your shirts are orange because you're wiping your hands off on your shirt. And your stomach hurts. You're in bad shape, and your clothing needs to be dry cleaned. So maybe just putting a mouthful of maybe just putting a mouthful of ice cream in your mouth and then swirling it around and spitting it out, maybe that's ultimately the right thing to do.
And who bought them, Merkin?
I think so, yeah. But I give Merkin a little cash every now and again. Like I contribute because the little basket that holds all of the stuff that's not good for you.
It's property of Randy Merkin and
Tom Waddle. Yes, because there have been several occasions where back in the day when I would make a bet and I would actually win it, which we're going on like month 15 now of that not happening, I would just tell Randy to he lost a bet. He made a bet with me about Jalen Brunson being a all-star in his first 2 years, I think. And listen, I'm not cheering against the kid. I hope he does well. He's a homegrown kid.
No shot.
Yeah, and so, whatever Randy bet me, I won't collect the money. I'll just have him donate it to or use it to buy more horrible things for you to ingest.
Yeah, that was Randy thinking with his wife's job.
Yeah.
Because she taught at that same
Randy's loyal, man. He's loyal to his guys, so... Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
did you see the odds for the 2021 Super Bowl?
I did not. No.
Yeah, the odds for the 2021 Super Bowl.
Can I
are
guess?
Out.
So the favorites. Yeah. I'm going to say the favorites in the AFC are Kansas City.
Kansas City is 7-1. They're the NFL favorite.
Okay, and I will say in the NFC, I think it'll be the 49ers again.
They are 8-1 tied with the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
What are the odds on the Chicago Bears?
30 to 1.
They are 25-1. They are tied with the Chargers, the Rams, the Vikings, and the Seahawks. below the Bears, longer shots.
Now, I would say this. The Bears, remember, the Bears are always, I think, I don't know, I'm, as I just alluded
They're a popular team.
Yes, I'm a horrible gambler, but my guess is the odds are set at a level because of the popularity of them in Vegas.
Correct. The teams below the Bears, which I found surprising, Houston Texans, Indianapolis Colts, Philadelphia Eagles, Buffalo Bills, Tennessee Titans are 50-1.
I'd put the Eagles above them. I think, listen, when you go through and look what the Eagles had to deal with injury-wise this year, it was incredible. Incredible what they were faced with. Don't forget that offense included a healthy Alshon Jeffrey, Al Galore before he was dropping everything. DeSean Jackson was part of that team. Both of their tight ends are fantastic. Jordan Howard was playing the thunder to the lightning role of Miles Sanders. And that offensive line took some hits over the course of the year. I still think that the Eagles are. I'm surprised the Eagles are that low. The Eagles would be a good value play for the NFC title game for next year.
Interesting.
But I think the 49ers are built for this. They really are. I mean,
Jimmy G is a good player. I'm not all in that he's a star.
Yeah, but he's had fewer starts than Mitch. So yeah. While he's 27 or 28, age-wise, he's older, but from an experience level, he's not there. I think he's fantastic, but I also see him as still a young quarterback that's flawed. And I think he's in the perfect situation where they have an elite running game, and their offensive coordinator, who is also their head coach as a game planner, as a play caller, to me, there's no one on his level. And I've said this quite
a bit. Shanahan?
Yes. To me, to watch them, what they do, they set up stuff in the third quarter, in the first quarter. The stuff that they do with motion, no team uses more motion. He just creates things that are, for me, as a football fan and a football wonk, they're just really fun to watch. Like, if you're a fan of airplanes, then you find little intricacies about airplanes that are cool. I like football. So when I watch offensive football and I see the approach that they have, I think it's cool. And they're built the right way. I mean, they're it's like the Titans. Titans are, you know, that didn't happen overnight. Conklin's a former first-round pick. Luan is a former first-round pick. They spent money on Roger Saffold as a free agent on their offensive line.
From the Rams.
Well, their other guard, I think, was a third-round pick. And I think Ben Jones, their center, was a third- or fourth-round pick of Houston or somebody, but they brought him in. But it takes a while to build a team. That's why I said on our show the other day, watching the Chiefs play left me more concerned than when the game kicked off. And it wasn't specifically about Patrick Mahomes, because Patrick's just an elite player. But they don't even care about running the football. They don't care. It's not part of what they do, because they have an offense that's loaded with these hugely talented, explosive players. You know, if you look at their stats this year, I think they're the 24th best rushing team. I think they average just under 100 yards per game, like 98 yards per game. But they were 27th in rushes attempted. Mm-hmm. There were five teams behind them in terms of number of rushing attempts. They were all losing teams that played from behind all year long. So they abandoned the running game. It's the Chiefs don't give a rat's ass about running the football because of how they're built. Now, I'm getting to my point here is that that's kind of the approach that Matt has taken here. That's he's coming from Kansas City,
but he's got Mitchell Trubisky.
Well, he doesn't have Kelce.
He doesn't have
their
multiple
offensive
weapons.
Line.
He doesn't have Tyreek
None of
Hill.
It. So that's my concern, Cap. Is it's not just that you don't have the quarterback. You're trying to run an offense that is what is innate to you. That's what Matt went, and you heard signs of it during the year when he said to people, "Listen, at a press conference, I wasn't here, brought here to run the I formation." Matt wants to throw the football, and he wants people to get up to speed to his offense. He wants the right pieces to the puzzle to do what Kansas City does. Or he's going to have to adjust to win football games. Now,
that's what
now,
he has
now
to
listen,
do.
I want them to run the ball more, too, because I don't think that they're built to throw it the way that Kansas City does. Now, here's your conundrum. You're not built like everyone's like, look at what the Titans are doing. You're not built like the Titans.
You don't have Derrick Henry.
Well, not even that.
Your offensive line isn't that.
Exactly. The Titans, this is something that's been in play for quite some time in Tennessee. You can't just now all of a sudden become a running team. So they're kind of in no man's land. So I think Matt's got to decide that he can't do what comes, you know, normal to him and not throw it every down, he's got to have, like you said, a more balanced attack. But you can't just grind it out running the ball 50 times because you're not built that way either. So you got to find common ground.
We had the coach on this morning.
Always love talking to the coach.
The coach said something interesting. His quote was, I said, coach, he talked about Jimbo going to the Hall of Fame.
Which is fantastic. I was texting with Jimbo earlier today.
We had Jimbo on and he said on the air, I proposed you for his speech.
You forget that Jimbo's best friend in college was Dan Marino.
Right, he said on the air. Dan Marino's my best friend.
Right, of course.
And I said, Tom Waddle would be great.
I'm sure you were busting chops, and I get it. But
and he said, I actually was texting with Tom, texted me this morning, but we were talking with the coach, and I said, coach, I let you go. What do you think of Mitchell Trubisky? They're all in on this guy. He goes, yeah, and they should be. He goes, you can win, and you can win championships with him. And I found that an interesting comment.
Well, there was a time, and it was 4 years and then some time after that, that I would never disagree with the coach because I played for him, and now that I'm 52, I feel somewhat comfortable and confident being able to have a pleasant, respectable disagreement with him. I'm not there yet. Listen, I hope that it all turns around. I hope Mitch proves us all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's just not good enough. They're not good enough to do all of that.
Agreed.
You got to fix it. And will they ever be good enough? I have my doubts on offense. I'm fine with their defense. I have my doubts. But again, I'm open to you surprising me. But it's going to be interesting this year. Will Matt, again, I think a lot of it has to do with what Matt's decision is. Listen, everyone was mad at Matt for how he called plays this year. And you know, I was critical of him as well. He's not giving that play calling duty up. That's why you got Bill Lazar or Lazor or whatever
it is. Here's how you pronounce it, Tommy.
Whatever it is.
Lazor.
Okay. You didn't get, you know, whoever it was, Shurmur, because who wants to be an offensive coordinator that doesn't call plays? Mm-hmm. My point is that he wasn't willing to do that, which I didn't expect, and I don't want him to. I want him to learn from his mistakes and be better.
Agreed.
But will they also change their approach, or will they continually kind of bang their head into the ground and say, we're a passing team? We'll find out.
All right, I have baseball questions for you. The over-unders were released this morning by Vegas.
I saw some of those last night.
The Chicago Cubs are 86 wins. White Sox, 84.5. Do you go over or under on either one?
For the White Sox, I'm excited about the Sox. That's a big jump. What'd they win last year?
71.
That's a huge jump. I put a little money on them going over. A little bit. Not a ton.
How about the Cubs?
I'd probably put a little bit of money on the under. I wouldn't be running to the window to bet either. So I think Vegas put the number at the right spot.
Cincinnati Reds, 83.
I don't know enough. I don't know enough about that. I know they added pieces, and I'd have to look at their team. I know Jesse Rogers picked them to win the Central.
Right. They had the Cardinals at 88.
Are Cardinals in on Nolan Arenado?
They are.
That'd be a huge addition.
Okay, here's the thing. You do nothing but print money up at Clark and Addison.
Yeah.
Okay? Occasionally, rarely, a generational type player who controls your room, is a great player offensively and defensively, is a great guy, there is no baggage, and he's one of those leaders that you want, being your guy, become available. Nolan Arenado is available.
Right.
If you not only don't go for him, and you let your fiercest rival get him, shame on them. Shame on them.
What are you going to have to give up to get Nolan Arenado?
Whatever.
What do you have? Do you have enough? Do you have enough to entice them? And
yes.
I know it's a salary dump.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I like Nolan Arenado. Now, will he hit as many home runs? We did this. I mean, Meller, I defer to Meller on a lot of the baseball conversations because he follows the stats more. But I think we did the home and away splits, and I don't think it's nearly as dramatic as people think. He's hit a few more home runs
at home
than away, but his home run totals away are really good. He's a better defender defensively than Bryant or whoever else you'd put there. I think I'd love to have him on my team.
That's a no-brainer, man. No freaking brainer. And if they truly are pulling back this year, resetting, then trade Jose Quintana for what you can get to the Twins. They need pitching. Trade Chris Bryant to the Braves for prospects. Go get Nolan Arenado and go, you know what? Okay, we may not win it in 2020, but I'm getting the best pieces going forward.
Yeah, I don't know if... you're not going to be able to do anything until you find out what Chris Bryant's, you know, the result of that arbitration
grievance.
Is. It's crazy. Who do you got winning this weekend in the NFL?
I have the San Francisco 49ers.
I think they're going to pound the Packers.
I have the 49ers, and I have the Chiefs, and so that will be your Super Bowl.
And I think that's the most appealing Super Bowl. There are some that want, because of the romance of, you know, a repeat of Super Bowl I, to see Kansas City and Green Bay. I want to see Kansas City and San Francisco.
I would love...
That's the best matchup.
Yeah, no question. But I would love to see a high-scoring Super Bowl. I want to see... Here we go. Air it out. Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I mean, listen, the 49ers have the capacity to score points. So you saw it in New Orleans several weeks ago where they got... That's the great thing about the 49ers is they don't have to hold you to 23 or 24 points to beat you. You know, they can score 45 points. I think they were a top five scoring team in the league this year.
What is the weather supposed to be in Kansas City? Because if you get snow, it's way easier to run the football than run pass patterns, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think depending on how bad the weather is, but that dude can throw it through anything. I mean, don't worry about being able to throw the ball.
Yeah, that dude's ridiculous.
It's crazy what they can do. I mean, it's like I said, they don't give a rat's ass about running the ball. They don't care.
They did now, when they had Kareem Hunt.
They will. I mean, they will run it, but also, I mean, I think at that time, Alex Smith was your quarterback, right?
Correct.
It's just going to be cold in KC. Yeah. 22, no precipitation.
Listen, the difference, this is why Andy's so good. Andy can he's like a chameleon in terms of his ability to direct his offense. When he had Kareem Hunt and Alex Smith was a good player in the system, but he wasn't as dynamic as Patrick Mahomes, so they ran the ball more. Well, what do they do now when Alex Smith, they moved Alex Smith, they completely morphed into a team that doesn't care about running the football because they say, listen, if I throw an incomplete pass on first down and I'm second and 10, screw you. I'm going to throw it down the field for a 15-yard gain. And they don't care. They don't care. Right. It's their style. That's they're going to
live or die by it. If we got a punt, we'll get it back. We'll do it again.
That's right. That's how they're built. That's how they go about their business. So they're a fun team to watch. I love watching the 49ers play. I really do. Just because, again, as a football, like you may look at basketball differently than I do because you know the intricacies of it all. When I watch what some of the stuff that Kyle Shanahan does, like, I'm not going to lie.
He's good.
You know, it's...
Can't say anything negative.
It's football porn. It's football porn.
He's really good. Really good.
You know, and he had to change. He had to improve, you know? I mean, there... That's why...
4-12 last year.
Well, that wasn't him. I mean, no. I'm saying, like, when you go back to the Super Bowl where he was the offensive coordinator, they were up 28-3, and they should have run the football. They should have done some things differently.
Didn't.
Yeah, so... I think he was a coordinator on that team, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah, so.
He was.
It'll be fun this weekend, though. Two good games.
Games. All right, man. Thank you for your time.
You got it.
As always, we
got
to take a quick time out. Thank you. Have a great show with Sylvie today. Tell the man, baby, I said hello. 312-332.
That's right. I'm a man, baby.
312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Cap and Company starring David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
Hayes lifts a stick to receive the pass. Center's missing. Then a shot by Kane to score. Patrick Kane snapped it. Kubelik might have gotten a piece, but in any event, Kane will extend a point streak to 7 straight. And a late second period goal gives the Hawks life. Hayes to Kubelik right up the gut, right to the goal. Kubelik, he scores! A 5-hole goal.
And Company with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
Hall of Famer Pat Foley on that call last night. A 3-2 JWG game-winning goal, and the Blackhawks get a much-needed victory. Welcome back on Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. Thank you, Tom Waddle. So we've had a lot to talk about today, Danny. Jimbo Covert this morning, breaking news, getting into the Hall of Fame. Bourbon A goes bye-bye. I got to think, Danny and Chris, that the Bears are attentive, that understanding this will upset their fan base, and they will do their best to have at least three or four touchy-feely scrimmages at a high school like they've done, family night at Soldier Field, and try and make it that people could still get a chance to get out and get autographs and watch their heroes because they can't afford to get a ticket to a game. Don't you? Wouldn't you be surprised, Danny, if they don't?
Well, I'm sure they're going to do their best to welcome as many fans as they can to practice. Just logistically, it's not going to be as possible. Like I said, last year, according to Brad Biggs in the Trib, there were 9,000 people that would show up to camp on one day.
Uh-huh.
That's just not possible at Halas Hall. It just isn't. Now, sure, you could do it at some high schools, and that would be great, but that kind of defeats the purpose of then holding training camp at Halas Hall, right? You want to have it at your facilities with your state-of-the-art equipment, your cafeteria, your recovery systems. So I don't think they're going to do multiple high schools. They'll probably do their Soldier Field family night, as always, and then they'll do Halas Hall, and probably they'll have 100, 200 tickets to Halas Hall, maybe by lottery, maybe by sign-up. I don't know how that'll work, but it's not going to be what it once was when it was in Bourbonnais.
When Tommy was there, it was Platteville. Tommy, you were Platteville, right?
I was, and it was different back then. It was five and a half weeks, and I loved going.
You were up there for five and a half weeks?
Yeah, five and a half weeks.
And then you guys would go out in town, maybe not you, because you were trying to make the team, but a lot of those guys would go drinking late into the night, damping all those guys.
Don't you dare leave me out of the extracurricular activities that occurred.
Did you go out?
Later in my career, yeah. I mean, there's... I don't know if the story would... I mean, there are a lot of... Never mind. I won't go there. The point I would say to you is...
Hold on. We want the stories. That's the good stuff.
Well,
That's what we want.
This is the story that I had. And ask Camp if this is true or not. But those guys were, like, established. It was 89 when I first got there. It was 89 or 90. I think I remember this story. The doors... First of all, I think guys like... Ask McMichael. I think they used to lay a $100 bill on their pillow and their door open for, you know, bed check at times.
McMichael told me, he said that it would be a $100 fine if you missed curfew. Yeah. And he put a $100 bill and said, there'll be one every night you need it.
Right. There was one time, I think, and the doors are locked. So to get back in was really... I mean, you had... The story goes that the back of the dorm... There was a time that Hamp came in a little bit past curfew, and I believe Ron Rivera was on the second floor.
Right, he was at Bible study.
No, he wasn't, yeah. But he was on the second floor of the back area by the stairwell when you would go in. And this is, you know, a legend has it that Hamp, you know, took a couple of pebbles and threw them because he was looking for someone to come and let him in. Threw a couple pebbles up there to get Chico's attention to come let him in. Nothing happened, so Hamp took a big rock and threw it through the window. I don't know how accurate the story is, but that was... Man, listen, when I was a young player, I'd go to... I mean, for our practices in the morning were early and they were full pads. It smelled like a brewery half the time. Like, I mean, you walk into the huddle and be like, oh, you get off of individual periods and we come together for team run play. And it'd be like, holy mother of mercy, what'd you guys do last night? But anyway, listen, it was such a great experience. And I loved every bit of it and the interaction with the fans. This was inevitable. And I hope that people aren't too rough on the Bears about this. Look, they invested $100 million in upgrading their facility. It's state-of-the-art. It's as brilliant.
They said it's the best in the
NFL. I went through it. It is brilliant. And they've got a couple of cafeterias. Everything that they need to do to be at their peak level
is there.
I hope that they're going to be able, and I trust they will, be able to create an environment, whether they're, you know, because it's a tough location to bust some people in on a, you know, they'll have a service that brings people in, that they'll still find a way to cater to the fans. I'm sure they will. But you're right. It's not going to be like it was at Bourbonnais. You can't get 6,000 or 8,000 people in there.
No, and it's never – the Platteville days, it's just different.
It's different. Well, yeah, it's totally different. And listen, they're only practicing in – I think JD told us yesterday they only practiced 8 or 9 times last year. So Danny's 100% right. For nutritional reasons, for rehab reasons, for they have all of these technically, fantastic things that they have available for them. For them to be the best football team, they're better off being there. It's just unfortunate because, the relationship that existed between the teams and the fans, it's tough. It really is.
It's different.
Like, you're not going to get a big, sweaty, tank top hug from Greg Braggs every day.
I mentioned him earlier.
Yeah. But I think that they'll find ways. Before everyone gets, out of their minds crazy and upset about it, give the Bears an opportunity to see how things play out. I think I know George truly values the relationship they have with the fan base, so they're going to do everything they can.
Right, I said to Danny, maybe they'll do 3 or 4 different high school events. A couple family days at Soldier Field. There you go.
This is why they and the upgrade of the facility was Ryan Pace had tremendous input into it, and it is an unbelievable product.
Told me he went to George with this vision, and George said, "What's it going to cost?" He goes,
"A lot."
Probably $100 million,
and they ponied up for it.
He goes, "I'm telling you, in one conversation, George said, done."
Yeah, and you should see it. I went through the. They gave me a tour right before it was completely done. I was up there for something, and wow. I mean, that's all I can say is wow.
Remember, I've never seen anything like it. You go into.
We were in the basement, and it used to. We were in the. As a rookie, you would stay in the basement, and the floor would flood twice a week. I mean, it was. You'd go outside.
And that was state of the art when they got it.
You'd walk up the hill to go to practice, the field, and if you got through the walk from the locker room to the field without getting stung by a bee, you'd had a successful day.
And it was state of the art when they first got it, way back.
That I don't know. I don't know that I attest to that, but it's different. So, yeah, I enjoyed my time in Platteville. The game's different. It's totally different, and I'm sure they'll do everything they can to accommodate fans.
You know who would have been perfect in the Platteville Hamp McMichael era?
Yurko, no doubt.
Yurko would have been amazing. All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll cross talk with Carmen and Yurko next.